pride is insidious stuff. If I have pride in my life, I need to deal with it. Because pride is the, in Proverbs chapter 6, pride is the number one sin that God hates the most. It is the sin that is behind iniquity. Iniquity is the force of Satan's government. The Word of God says that there is a throne of iniquity, and iniquity is that which was found in Satan's heart when he was Lucifer. And two places really describe what he was as Lucifer, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. And iniquity was found in his heart, and it is a throne. That means there's an authority and a government and a power to it. And a person who gets into iniquity, and iniquity by definition is emotional rebellion against God. But we don't recognize iniquity. And that's not a good place to be, for us to not recognize iniquity. And one of the reasons why we don't recognize iniquity, sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. For example, some of the things we dealt with last week, some of those were absolutely iniquity, but they were iniquity that had an outward manifestation, and that's easy to recognize. And, you know, we mentioned what some of those things were last week. You know, it was an interesting message. Once in a while, a message like that comes. And it's a crucial message. It's a life-saving message. Because some of the things that we do bring warfare into our lives. And we don't realize that we're ignorant of it, but we invite demons into our lives through things like iniquity. The most subtle thing is pride. It's insidious. Pride is an insidious sin. One, it comes out of the heart. Two, it puts the person who's in that in a very good light in their own eyes. Like a message like last week will come. If there's pride in the heart, the person will say to them, "Oh, I don't do those outward things." And what's worse is if I know somebody else's failures, I'm actually going to be happy about them getting convicted. That's pride. That's pride. The Word of God says, don't rejoice in another person's failure. Pride will do that, though, where it elevates me in my own eyes as though I'm something and you're something below me. In some way, I'm better. Extremely dangerous thing. Very subtle. Very insidious. Very destructive. We have to be so on guard against our own pride, against God. Now, one of the things that happens to people, I was listening to a message of Pastor Stevens's this week. And it really got me to thinking about this type of a thought. And it occurred to me, one of the biggest things that happens to believers is they don't actually know how to use the Word of God in their life. Believers will sometimes get to the point where they will receive the Word, and instead of accepting it as the Word of God, as infallible, they will take the Word of God, and instead of taking it and trusting it as the foundation of their evaluations, in other words, how do I evaluate? I evaluate on the basis of how does this line up with God's Word? And if I'm not certain how to apply God's Word, I turn to God's heart. And then I say, how does this line up to God's heart? And that always keeps me in a position where I'm using the Word of God in grace. So, I take the Word of God, and that becomes the foundation of my evaluations. However, and this happens, I think, most frequently to believers who haven't had much time in the Word of God. And by much time, I mean maybe a decade. 5, 10, 15. Believers who've been in the Word of God for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and by that I don't mean just casually reading the Bible. Satan knows the Bible, right? He's not afraid of the Bible. He went toe-to-toe with Jesus quoting scriptures. Okay, so he's not afraid of the Word, and he knows the Word. What he does is he twists the Word. And he'll do that to believers in their life. And one of the things he'll do to them is he'll twist the Word to say to them, you're not living up to the Word. And by doing that, he's taking it out of the realm of being the Rhema Word of God, and he's actually turning it into the realm of being a law. And so now he says, you don't live up to the law. You don't live up to the letter. And he'll condemn. That's one thing that happens to believers. Another thing that happens to believers, younger believers usually, some people spend their entire lives as newborn believers, practically speaking. Because they don't have rich Word of God. And they never get it. They read, but that, you know, faith comes by hearing. That's like this really important thing that people completely miss. They'll try to interpret hearing as being anything but, when in fact the original language very specifically says the auditory sense. Faith comes via the auditory sense. And the auditory sense receives the Word by the preaching of the Word. Right? Paraphrasing. But the other thing that happens to believers is they'll take the Word of God and they will not, instead of using the Word of God as the foundation of their evaluations and the premise with which they analyze and think and all that, they'll take the Word of God and with their own lives and with their natural thinking, their experiences, their understanding, their interpretations, whatever, they will analyze the Word of God according to their natural thinking rather than analyzing their natural thinking according to the Word of God. And so they really get it backwards. And when that happens, a great deal of confusion and frustration comes in. Because the Word of God is not allowed to have its effective power in that person's life. What happens is the Word of God is put on, if you will, it's put on a table. And you take a microscope and you put it over the Word and you analyze with the premise of natural reasoning. And so our natural reasoning replaces the Word of God in our life. That's a terrible place to be. Because what's our natural reasoning made of? Right? Well, it's made of our past, our experiences, our natural ability to understand, the way that we hear things in our natural man. It's made up of our flesh, our preferences. So when we do that, we actually don't receive the Word. We don't become recipients of it. We become judges of the Word. And then, if a believer still has a heart after God, even though they're a judge of the Word, the Word becomes a very frustrating thing to them. Because they say it should have power, but look at it. And therein is the mistake. You don't look at it, you accept it. You receive it and you accept it. And you accept that as the foundational truth for all thinking. So if my thoughts don't line up to the Word, I don't take my thoughts and judge the Word or analyze the Word. I take my thoughts and I say, my thoughts are wrong. And I adjust my thoughts according to the Word. This is what it means when the Word of God says, let God be true and every man a liar. And the beautiful thing about that is it actually releases us in unbelievable ways. Because prior to that, my thoughts and my soul and my mind was really the center of everything. Even though I may not have realized it. But it was the center of my thinking, it was the center of my understanding and my evaluations. If I change that though, if I say, okay, If my thoughts don't line up to the word, it's not the word, it's my thoughts that are the problem. Okay? And so I realize, okay, the word is right, the thought is wrong. What that will do is actually that will release me in my emotions. Because it'll take away that frustration saying, why doesn't the word work for me? And instead I'll say, oh, I know why the word doesn't work for me, because I'm not utilizing it correctly. Okay, I'm trying to use another premise. And on the basis of that premise, I'm trying to say, okay, word, work. Right? It's almost like getting, you know what it reminds me is of a trained dog. Okay, dog, perform your tricks. Except this dog, you say, okay, perform your tricks in me. That is, in truth, operating outside of the realm of faith, judging the word, and establishing myself in my natural evaluations and thinking and understanding. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. I have to be careful about that as a believer. Because it will burn me. It will burn me. I'll get very frustrated. I'll get very angry. I'll get insecure. I'll receive all kinds of projections. Because I'm thinking to myself, there's got to be something wrong with me because nothing's happening inside of me. No, it wasn't that there was actually anything wrong inside of you. There's nothing there that wasn't there all along. You have a flesh. And you're going to have that flesh till the day you go home. But the effect of the flesh, the strength of the flesh, can be completely and totally eliminated. The flesh won't be eliminated, but its authority and its effect over me can be eliminated. That's what theatric action is.